Let us join together this morning in reciting the fifth commandment, as you find it printed in your bulletin, the commandment and then the explanation. You shall not kill. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do no bodily harm to our neighbor, but help and befriend him in every need. I've never killed anyone, not in anger, not in self-defense, not in war. I've never served as a hangman or the master of the guillotine or any of the other up-to-date methods of execution. I've never even killed a pheasant or a duck. Or a deer. Only those occasional birds that get in the way of my car. So I get off scot-free. I haven't broken this commandment. That's the way, of course, that the Pharisaic heart sees things being hung up only in its externals. But that's not what the fifth commandment is about. It forbids murder, wrongful killing. Well, does that get me off the hook? Well, in an external way, perhaps. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus puts us back on the hook. God's Son was there at Sinai when this law was given through Moses. And so Jesus goes to the heart of it when he says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." And then he says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And then comes in the New Testament another testimony. Through John, that disciple who was closest to Jesus, who is called the Apostle of Love. And he goes to the heart of it when he says, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer." And so that's what's at issue in this commandment. I've never killed anyone, not even by accident. Not even in a justified act of defending my neighbor. And yet, I am condemned by that law that says, "You shall not commit murder." I hate. I have even wished another to be dead, eternally dead, by cursing him. Sometimes, I can, for a while, justify my hatred, at least in my own mind. Other times, I know better than to even try. But hate, I do. You don't? Examine yourself. Maybe you can make a distinction between righteous hatred and righteous anger and unrighteous or unjustified anger. Maybe, but you fool yourself and you don't fool God. Why do I hate others? Why do I get angry with others? I don't suppose that it generally comes down to anything else than the fact that they tend to contradict my own good opinion of myself. But why is this hatred and anger so bad? Why is it so horrible as to be considered the same as taking the life of another person? Because it's from the heart that come those concrete actions. that either destroy another person's life or destroy the value of another person's life. In the Large Catechism, Luther wrote, "This commandment is easy enough to understand. We must not kill, either by hand, heart, or word, by signs or gestures, or by aiding and abetting." Luther says again, "The meaning of this commandment then is that no one should harm another person for any evil deed, no matter how much that person deserves it." Listen to that again. No matter how much that person deserves it. And he goes on, "Many people, although they do not actually commit murder, nevertheless curse others and wish such frightful things on them that if they were to come true, they would soon put an end to them. Therefore, God wishes to remove the root and source that embitters our heart toward our neighbor. Then we can let our enemies rave and rage and do their worst. Thus we may learn to calm our anger and have a patient, gentle heart, especially toward those who give us cause to be angry." But that still isn't the end of it. "Even when I hear such calming words, my heart still rages in anger against those who treat me badly or who I think treat me badly." Why does our Lord take a perfectly good rule and turn it into something that's absolutely impossible to keep in our earthly condition? It drives me to despair. It shows me that there's absolutely nothing good in me. I hate, and I'm angry, and I keep on hating, and I get more and more angry. And when I wake up in the morning, I remember the anger that I had the day before. And so what then? What then? Am I that lost? Well, no. For we know what that soothing gospel really says to us. Because in the depth of my despair, there is set before me the innocence of the suffering servant, my Lord Jesus, who suffered all in my place, also, and perhaps especially, for my anger and my hatred. Isaiah writes, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Where I have not been able to turn my angry heart to forgiveness, he has suffered the greatest indignity in my place, even shedding his blood, even giving up his life, rather than lashing out in anger and hatred, as justified as it might have been. And that is the only comfort that can soothe my hating and angry heart. In that, he has justified me. He doesn't justify my evil deeds, but he has justified me. He has covered up my sins before God. He has washed me clean in his own blood. The blood of Abel that was shed in that first murder as a result of anger, hatred, and jealousy pointed ahead to the blood that was shed to keep me from my evil so that I stand before God pure and righteous and loving in God's sight. To him alone be the glory. Amen.